Welcome back to the Reading and Writing Podcast. My guest today is documentary filmmaker Phil Wall. Phil directed the new documentary movie, The Bookkeepers, which will be released on June 17th. Phil, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me, Jeff.
Sure. Well, if someone hasn't yet heard about your documentary movie, The Bookkeepers, can you describe the documentary?
Yeah, the Bookkeepers is an independent feature documentary, and it's filmed from my perspective and follows my dad around the country as he promotes my mom's debut memoir in the months after her death. He sets out to save her dream and ends up telling his love story and sharing his grief with people across the U.S. And it's an uplifting father-son road trip that is all about healing through storytelling. It's done well in festivals. It won the both the Audience Award and Jury Prize for Best Documentary at the Austin Film Festival. And as you said, it's having its theatrical opening on June 17th, which is Father's Day weekend. And we'll be at the Limley in Los Angeles and O Cinema in Miami. And there's some other bookings coming in, of course. And folks can check that out on, at our website on the bookkeepers.movie, or follow us on Instagram, or Facebook, which is Bookkeepers Movie. And we'll keep updating. You know, I'm not sure when this podcast is coming out, but we'll be updating the full list. And, you know, I'm looking forward to really engaging with more audiences on the film and its themes.
That's great. Well, your mom, Carol, passed away after her memoir, Mr. Ouida's Guide to Gardening, was published. How did your dad decide to help publicize your mom's book by doing book events himself to talk about her memoir?
Well, it was definitely a natural thing. It's a memoir, right? So he's part of the story. And when you read the book, you realize that, having this book published and my mom's writing career was very much, both of their dreams and both of their life's journeys, a part of my dad's journey as well. And so, when she got sick, just as the book was getting ready to be published, of course, it was with Penguin Random House was the publisher, Amy Einhorn is the editor, and it was anticipated to be this breakout success for her. And I believe it was even the rep's pick for Penguin leading into the fall, or leading into publication in 2014, which meant that it was going to be, you know, anticipated to be their number one nonfiction of the year. And so they had planned a pretty significant tour, marketing campaign with all types of interviews, you know, kind of what we see, what we all typically see and imagine and as writers dream of. So when we realized how sick she was and that she wasn't going to get better, a lot of that got canceled, but there were a few places where my dad was invited to speak in her stead. So he, you know, there was no question that he was going to do that. And as it progressed, you know, he did one or two, and he's fantastic. I mean, he was my high school basketball coach. He coached my brother and sister as well. He's a lawyer. He's a charming guy. So there was no question for us that he should do it, and there was no question that he would be great doing it, and he is great. So what happened was he started doing that and audiences started responding. And so my mom's agent suggested, hey, why don't you get your own publicist and book a tour that, you know, to promote this book, because, once Mom died, he was the only person capable of going out and advocating for her work, which is what she would have done, and what she would have done, she would have been fantastic at it. So it was, it's a natural thing for him to do. And it kind of evolved over time. But at first it was, yeah, of course I'll go speak at that luncheon or that event or that bookstore. And then it evolved into more of this, tour, that was, sure. That is certainly unorthodox, when you think about how book tours perhaps work.
Sure. How many book events has your father participated in to help spread the word about your mom's book?
He has done over 225 events in 30 states. He's driven over 150,000 miles since 2015. So it's really incredible what he's done. And I'd imagine that that he'll keep going, and he's doing it for the film as well. He's traveled with me to film festivals where we've done Q&As after the screenings. He's going to be traveling with me when we have our theatrical opening. So it's sort of, it is very special. It's very special to think of my mom writing this book that is, you know, she's telling her story, and she's healing through that. And then Dad goes out to advocate for her book and tells his story. And here I am as a filmmaker, not realizing that I'm capturing this along the way, and end up capturing the story from my perspective and kind of, you know, closing that circle in a way. But here we are again, the two of us out promoting together. So it's a really special, really special journey.
Sure. Well, you faced the grief of a parent's death. I'm curious, what made you decide to make a documentary film about this process and your father's book tour?
I'd say that the audience really made me decide to turn the experience into a documentary film. I initially just was recording content to help prepare for the release of the book. My mom had hired me in my capacity as a, you know, I do client work in addition to my independent work. And so she wanted me to make videos to help promote her and her book when the book came out. And So I did interviews with her. I even helped make a pitch video that was aimed at helping her agent pitch publishers. I don't know if it was ever used, but we made that together and collaborated on that. So when she died, I felt the hole, of course, in my life, and I still feel that. And then I felt compelled to right this wrong and save her work and save her book. But I wasn't sure that I was going to make a documentary feature about it. In fact, when I started out with my dad on the road, I was really just trying to capture things to use for promotion. To put on Facebook and Instagram and support the project in that way. But what happened was people would walk up to me after Dad would give his presentation. Strangers would share their experience with loss. They would tell me about their mom or their sister or their brother. And I was totally floored by how much that helped me. And I still am. I mean, when people watch the film, we have that exchange afterwards, in the, you know, people come up to me after the Q&A and share their story. And it's really meaningful to me. And so I thought when this initially started happening, I thought, you know, maybe I can make a film that will spark this type of exchange. If I do it kind of, you know, stay home and stay humble and just share my story in the same way that this stranger shared theirs with me, then something good could happen and something positive can happen for other people. And I think the film has done that, and that's kind of all you can hope for.
What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
Gotcha. And I'm curious, for people who are listening who may not be familiar with your mom's book, can you talk a little bit about the memoir, Mr. Ouida's Guide to Gardening?
Yeah. Mr. Ouida's Guide to Gardening is it's a memoir that is about cancer, friendship, and cultivating an open heart. It was a breakout success for my mom. It was critically acclaimed. It was the week after she died. It was voted a top 10 book of the year by AARP and USA Today. And I think that it is a book that's about healing and embracing life's afflictions and, you know, as she puts it, graciously slipping into Plan B. And the lessons in the book, the Bookkeepers, the film doesn't really answer many questions about the book. That's not what it's designed to do. But the themes in the book of healing are complementary to the themes in the film. And it's those lessons in the book that influence the way that my dad and all of us have navigated life without my mom. So it's a memoir that's about friendship. It's about her experience with cancer and how it coincided with this friendship she developed with a Kenyan man who had a gardening business in our neighborhood or in our town, and how the two of them became spiritual guides for each other and how our families became intertwined. And really, you know, what those big life moments were for my mom as she was facing illness and the loss of people around her as well.
And I'm curious, is your family still in touch with Mr. Ouida's family?
Yes, absolutely. Yes, we are. And it's been a very meaningful thing, especially with his wife. And she has worked with my dad for many years. And she was there for my mom when my mom was in her final months. And she is really... I just can't tell you how much that has meant to all of us and to me, that she was by her side.
Well, the documentary opens with a quote from Pat Conroy. I'm curious, what role did books and reading play in your mom's life?
My mom was always telling stories and describing the world through books she had read or films she had seen. I have fond memories of walking by her room when she was reading The New Yorker or watching an old movie and calling me into the room and telling me about it, whatever it was. So she was a literary person. She wrote from the age of, you know, from when she was in elementary school, she wanted to be a writer. My aunt tells the story of learning to read. My aunt was my mom's younger sister, and saying that when she learned to read, that she was disappointed because she realized that the stories that my mom was telling her from the picture books were different from the books that were actually written. And she felt like my mom's stories were better. So I feel like my life is very similar in terms of using art to explain what I'm experiencing, using, you know, films that I've seen and books I've read to find that connection.
That's great. So you mentioned earlier about several screenings on the release date, June 17th, for The Bookkeepers. Will there be other ways for people to see the movie? Will there be any kind of streaming at this point that you know of?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, right now we're going into the theatrical window. So there will be in-person theatrical screenings and then eventually virtual theatrical as well. And then later on in the year, we'll go into the consumer-facing streaming. And that's kind of the distributors, First Run Features, and they are a fantastic art house distributor that I've admired for quite some time. So I'm really thrilled that they have picked up the film. And so I sort of leave all that to them. Sure. But yes, there will be ways to watch it. If it's not screening in your town at your local indie art house theater, there will be other ways to watch it. If folks go to the Bookkeepers website, which is bookkeepers.movie, they'll be able to find out how to watch it or how to request a screening.
Got it. So who are the filmmakers and films that inspire you?
Oh man, that's a really tough one. The first thought that comes to mind is, you know, I have a love of so many movies where I who made it is a second, you know, a second thought. Like growing up, I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've watched something like The Sandlot and I have no idea who made it. I really can't tell you. And that's sort of a dream of mine to have a film that stands on its own where who made it isn't really important. What's important is what that film means to someone. But through the course of making The Bookkeepers, there were many films that helped me along the way. I would say some Gus Van Sant, Don't Worry, He Won't Get Far on Foot is a very unique film. It stars Joaquin Phoenix. And I really love sort of the temporal treatment, how time is used. The Cruise is a documentary film that's by Bennett Miller. Bennett Miller also directed Moneyball and Capote. And The Cruise is a documentary feature that is about one of those tour guides the double-decker buses in New York City. And I really love just kind of how the film's organized almost in a thematic way where you feel like it's just an observational fly-on-the-wall experience of having this main character sort of deliver their life philosophy over the course of time. Life Animated by Roger Ross Williams is a fantastic documentary film that is based on a book, and of the same title. And so those are some that stood out. I mean, I love I love observational documentary, and that kind of treatment. So, you know, Errol Morris, some of his, and Ross McElwee. Like I said, tough question. So that's where I'm at today, though.
Sure. I'm curious, have you ever seen a documentary called Stone Reader?
Yes, I've seen Stone Reader. I've talked to the director, Mark, and the book is on my list. I actually have the Stone Reader DVD, but it's a fantastic one. I met the director in Philadelphia through a friend, it's quite the journey in that film. What'd you think of it?
Oh, I loved it. I loved it. I had it on DVD and I kind of lost the DVD and I recently purchased it on Amazon Prime. I think it's amazing if you love books and reading, and you're looking for documentaries. So
yeah, it's kind of a cult film. It did really well. I think it won Slam Dance when it came out. And I forget what year it came out, but yeah, I had to track that DVD down as well. And I did enjoy it.
Great. Well, again, we've been speaking with Phil Wall, director of the new documentary, The Bookkeepers. The movie is out in theaters on June 17th, and you can find out more information about the movie and screenings near you at www.bookkeepers.movie. And Carol Wall's book, Mr. Ouida's Guide to Gardening, How I Learned the Unexpected Joy of a Green Thumb and an Open Heart, is available from any bookstore. So order a copy today. And Phil, thanks for doing this interview.
Thank you, Jeff.
Great.